Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and you're listening to another edition of Family Talk. We're glad you joined us. This program today is going to be unique because for the first time in 2.5 years, and that's when our son Ryan left this ministry to form a ministry of his own. And this time he's come back to be with us to bring us up to date, to tell us what he's been up to. And he has been operating his own ministry with his wife, Laura. And Laura is, of course, my daughter-in-law, my beloved daughter-in-law, and the mother of my two grandchildren. And they're sitting outside, and Laura is here in the studio with us. Laura, it's the first time you've been on this side.
I know. Thank you. It's exciting.
So good that you came to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to be talking about you and the ministry that God has called you all to do, and let everybody kind of get caught up to date. Now, I have a lot of folks who are coming up to me these days and are saying, how is Laura?
Yeah.
They've heard about your medical situation.
Yes.
And it's amazing. In fact, Ryan, I told you this yesterday, that we were at the National Day of Prayer recently, and people were greeting me, and I was signing autographs and taking pictures and all that stuff. And this woman came up to me and said, "I love your son. I absolutely love him. I listen to him every day on the radio or on podcasts, I guess it is.
Both.
And that I just don't want to miss because everything he says is meaningful to me."
I'm not going to be able to get out of the building now. My head's going getting bigger and bigger.
Does that please you?
You know what? It does if it's helping people. That's really the only reason we're doing what we're doing. If it's helping people, then it definitely pleases me. It sounds like it is.
That is your mission, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Your mission is marriage.
Marriage and parenting.
And parenting.
And faith.
And it's called, as a crazy name,
Rebel Parenting.
Rebel Parenting.
That's right.
Now, what does that mean? To me, that means somebody's trying to do it all by the wrong rules.
Right.
Is that what you have in mind?
You know what? It was hard to find a name. I mean, everything is taken. Everything is taken. Anything with family is taken. And it was hard. It was hard to find something. And I thought, you know, I was looking up to the people that I respect, and all of them were rebels in their own right. And I remember telling you this for the first time, and you had the look on you have in your face right now. Yeah. It was this, "What are you talking about? I'm one of the people you look up to." And I go, "I know." And in the 60s, when you wrote Dare to Discipline, that bucked the going trend of the day. Dr. Spock had written, "Hey, just let your kids do whatever they want, and they'll turn good, because at core, we are all good. And if you let your kids stay up, well, then eventually they'll choose a healthy bedtime. And if you let them eat whatever they want, eventually they'll choose healthy food, because
there's one thing wrong with that. It's baloney."
That's right. That's right. But you were bucking that trend, and it turned out to be right. But that was rebelling against the culture. We're doing that today. You know, Orange County, where we come from, Orange County has a 70% divorce rate. 7 out of 10 marriages end in divorce.
So we're trying to start a rebellion against that.
Right.
Yeah.
Against dead marriages.
It's not about being rebellious at all.
Does it take people a little while to figure out what you mean by rebel parenting?
Not really. I think the ones that are looking for help, that really just are tired of cliche answers, tired of hearing, you know, the things that don't work.
Yeah.
They get it. It's very honest.
Tired of not being transformed by the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. Marriage is tough today. Parenting is tough.
I want to come back to this because this is the essence of what we want to talk about, the ministry, what you're doing. But first, I want to talk about you, Laura.
You
came through a really, really tough thing. Now, Laura, I want to hear your perspective on it, but Ron, I'm going to start with you because I was standing side by side with you when we were beginning to understand what she was about to go through. Explain.
I'll just catch people up. Laura was raised, you know, in Newport Beach, California, near the ocean. When you were 6, your dad bought a sailboat, and you guys sailed half around the world for 2.5 years. And almost 2 years ago, Laura was diagnosed with skin cancer.
Yeah, the squamous skin cancer that comes from the sun.
Right.
The one that.
So you'd been out in the sun essentially for 2.5 years.
Well, decades and decades surfing and all the things
years
that we
of
do.
Surfing.
Yeah. Sure, sure. Yeah. And so we did the things everybody does. We did the things the doctors told us to.
We did
the cryo and we did spot chemo and the burning. And I couldn't believe the things Laura went through. I mean, the pain. They don't give
to compensate for what the sun had done to her face.
That's correct.
You know, they were trying to combat the cancer that was there, and it was painful. It was 2 years of this, and right before we leave for Christmas, Laura goes in and they check it.
And we've been doing a lot of work up until this point, so we were really hoping and praying that I was clear going back into this. It was December 19th when we got the call.
The call was terrible. It was bad. It was it has broken the lip-skin barrier and there's open lesions.
It was the step up. It was a step four of cancer. Mm-hmm. It was the one that they had to go in and actually take care of it.
Squamous cell is scary stuff.
Yes.
My dad had that and we prayed for him for weeks. And fortunately, the Lord healed him. Mm-hmm. Ryan, what you need to explain is that the cancer was in the lower lip.
That's right. So we get back from Christmas and we met with a specialist and he said, I'm not qualified to handle this. You need to go to a better specialist than me. It's never something you want to hear at a doctor. Uh-huh. You just don't want to hear those things. We went to another one and he said, this is very, very bad. If you look in the mirror, you can see the color change between your skin and your lower lip.
And the lesions I had.
There was lesions. There were sores. They removed from one corner of the mouth to the other, the entire lower lip.
It's gone.
Everything you can see. And then reconstructed from inside Laura's mouth.
Rolled the inside of the lip to make a new lower lip. And what did the surgeon tell you before the surgery started? What was he saying? He's saying, Ryan, this is going to be okay. This is going to be kind of tough for a while, but this is going to be all right. What did he say?
The diagnosis was bad. It was, this won't look the same. It won't feel the same. You may not be able to speak the same way again. You may not be able to speak clearly. You may have to go to a speech pathologist. You may not be able to hold liquid. You may have trouble eating.
Every aspect of what you use your lip for, even kissing and everything, food, eating was going to be jeopardized. And then he really wanted to make it clear that I wasn't going to look the same.
Did they tell you that the cancer might have gone lower into the jaw?
Yes, that was the concern. That was the concern. So we had a 4-hour scheduled surgery just in case it had gone all the way down to my chin because they didn't know.
Yeah.
And so, but we got out quick. We got out in 2 hours. And
it was
quick, honestly, and great.
People that follow us, you know, at Rebel Parenting know this. I had come back to they said it was going to be 4.5 hours-ish. A long surgery. I'd come back early because some friends from out of town came in to see Laura. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to be here forever. And I got back and maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, the doctor came out and I thought, oh, no. Maybe it's worse and he also can't do this. And I go and met with him and he seemed upbeat and he said, well, we're done. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, you know, we got it taken care of. The surgery went really well. I think she's going to progress nicely. And there's no cancer.
Yeah, it was cancer-free.
Well, he said, there's no cancer. And I said, oh, good, you got it all. And he goes, oh, no, no. And I said, what? And he goes, no, there's no cancer. There's no cancer. And I said, well, there was cancer. And they started with biopsies. I mean, they started with biopsies because we've heard all the
naysayers from now.
Every time they did a biopsy, it came back cancer-free. Every biopsy they did, the entire surgery came back cancer-free.
So there's no question about the fact that at the start of surgery, she had cancer because they had done a biopsy.
Absolutely. We have 2 years of pathology reports that say advanced squamous cell cancer. I mean, open lesion, breaking lip-skin barrier. Advanced, I have things in all capitals, advanced cancer. And I asked him, I said, well, why'd you do the surgery then? And I can only give you my layman's explanation of what he told me. He's a doctor. He's a great doctor. We've met with him many times since then. he essentially said, well, there was cancer. Your wife definitely did have cancer. Everything we look at looks like it used to be cancer. And when we send it to the pathologist, it's not cancer.
That's got to be a miracle. Are you calling it that?
100%. 100%. There's
what else could it be? I went home and got the pathology reports.
Yeah.
And I took all the pictures of it because I wanted people to realize, like, these are the last four pathology reports I've had in the last year that all state the same thing. Look, people.
Yeah.
Like, we have it documented.
Yeah.
And
by the way, you're listening to Laura talk now. It's only been 64 days since surgery.
65 days. Yeah. And I can talk. And yeah. I can eat and drink.
And you look great, Laura.
And you can barely tell.
It's amazing. They roll the inner lip forward and did about 60 stitches.
Oh, goodness. Are you kidding? They don't have
more than that.
There were so – the pictures, there were so many stitches.
You don't
internal stitches,
see the pictures.
External stitches, lower stitches. Yeah, you wouldn't want to see. It was so scary.
It was frightening.
It was so scary. And then people that know Laura that don't know she had surgery can't tell she had surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
No, I don't see it.
Here's the truth. Looks wise, it's a miracle. I'm telling you, the cancer was there and it's not. We had a full. Dad, I was raised in your home. I don't have another explanation for it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Me too.
It does.
Yeah.
I have struggled with this. I've talked about it openly on our podcasts and on our programs. I don't have an explanation other than miracle. And I am so embarrassed to say. When I prayed that the Lord would take the cancer away, I did it in front of our kids because I was ashamed not to.
Yeah.
But it's 2018. Come on. When's the last time you saw a miracle? When's the last time someone had cancer and then they didn't have cancer? I don't have an explanation for it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not able to give you one.
None.
Would it be appropriate to say that without the surgery, it might have come back?
He said 100% if we did not remove this, it will absolutely come back. 100% it will come back. When we test it, it is not cancerous.
Laura, have you ever seen a miracle before
this? No, and I think still I'm in shock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think every day we kind of still struggle with it. I don't know if anyone out there has ever experienced something like this. It jostles your mind and your faith, and it makes you grateful. Of course, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Now, when you came from the hospital, we saw you early on, and your lower lip was really pooched out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it was so
swollen. There was no guarantee that was going to shrink and become normal again.
Right.
And we were all praying for you.
Thank you. Thank you,
everyone.
Putting
our arms around you. We were hurting for you.
Mm.
And you were in a lot of pain.
Yes.
Too. And yet it shrunk right down and looks like a natural lip.
Thank you. Thank you.
It does.
Oh, I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. I mean, and I just have to say the day you took me up to the first specialist, Jim Paul, I love you. And that's the name I call you, Jim Paul.
That's what your kids call me.
Yeah. And on that day, we prayed 7 times. And it just meant so much to me. I came home telling Ryan, I'm like, your parents are the real deal. Like, because I was nervous that day, and we got told bad news, and we got told we had to go to another specialist. And just being covered in prayer that day, it meant a lot. And I had fun hanging out with you and Shirley. It was a fun day for me, even though it was, like, horrible news.
Yeah.
You guys made it special
for me. It's the first time and maybe the only time you've ever seen us facing a crisis and seeing how we dealt with ours.
For sure.
Because your crisis was our crisis.
Yes.
And yet the Lord was with us, wasn't he?
Wasn't he?
Oh,
the
for
whole
sure.
Way.
If people have reason to doubt this, let me tell you that I think thousands of people were praying for you.
It had to be.
I mean, the prayer that we got was so, so overwhelming. And I want everyone to know the Lord was there. He's always there. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the outcome of the surgery, the Lord was there. He was always, always there.
Yeah.
Ryan, there's every reason to believe that Laura's surgeons were not believers.
Well, he told me he wasn't. They were very uncomfortable with my prayers.
And you insisted on praying.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
For them and for Laura and for the surgical team.
You got
and everything that was going to go. And they didn't know how to handle that, did they?
They didn't, except one nurse.
There was a nurse that was sure spirit-filled believer. Her arms are raised.
So
you know,
thankful.
I don't even care. I just don't care. My God is so big. He's so much bigger than my awkwardness and their awkwardness. I thank the Lord for their past and for their dedication to the craft and for their schools and for their professors and prayed protection for their families. And they were staring at their feet and didn't quite know what to do, you know. And I got to tell you, Dad, since then, because I've been really open about the whole thing on our live videos and on Facebook and that kind of stuff. And we have people that have emailed me and say, you know, I have this issue. Will you pray for me? And I say, of course, of course. I regularly send our newsletter out saying, what can I pray for you for? Mm-hmm. And people email me back. But I have people say, well, will you post this on your page so that I get – it's like somehow I've got this extra special line to the Lord. And I tell people, listen, I'm a human being. I prayed for a miracle that I didn't believe in. And the Lord gave it to me anyway.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? We were out there praying too.
I know, but I have to tell people that because I have heard, and my pastor is not like this, but I have heard people say, you know, when you pray, if the Lord doesn't answer this prayer, like he's a Santa Claus of some kind, it's because your faith is too small.
Yeah.
It's because of you that your faith caused the Lord not to give you the good thing. And I tell people, well, then Laura shouldn't have been healed.
Right.
Yeah. Because I was doubting. I did it because I have kids. Because
and
I want them to believe.
You did it because every medical authority told you this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
They didn't withhold anything from you, did they?
No, they didn't. No. I was so scared.
Yeah. And we kept it silent because we didn't want everyone else's opinions. So that's why it kind of came out really
suddenly.
Last minute and suddenly people didn't know. And our heart along the way had just been to keep it private, keep it between the family, because we didn't want anyone to be nervous. We didn't want the kids to find out from someone else. And
how did they take it when they saw you?
I don't know.
Oh.
Because I was kind of out of it. Yeah.
Well,
remember the first 3 days I was a little out
of it. Listen, it's 2018. So we forget different things. And we all have iPhones and the kids have an iPad that they were at home. Lincoln was watching a show on the iPad at home while Laura was having her surgery. So Laura comes out of surgery still under a little bit of anesthetic and has her phone and is taking pictures of herself so she can see the photo of what she looks like. Well, we're all on the same iPhone account. So all photos go to all devices. So before we had gotten home, Lincoln had seen everything. I didn't know any of this.
Neither did I.
So we get home. Lincoln has seen all the photos Laura has taken. You know, he was well aware of.
He's 11 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And Lucy was
six.
Five.
She had not seen him. He is so smart. I mean, he is so emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
He knew not to show her those types of things, but he was like, whoa, Daddy, you know.
But Lucy that kind
first,
of liked
I haven't
it.
Told you this.
Okay, go for it.
That first night, I said, how does your mom look?
Yeah.
And he says, not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't look
it
too good.
It was great. It was.
Well, your lip was really swollen.
Yeah,
but you look great, Laura.
Thank
it's beautiful.
You. Well, it's
really
nice
is.
To not be wearing a mask finally and just to be free and now to get back to work. You know, for me, I've learned when I'm scared, I sometimes make mistakes. And I got really scared when they gave me that diagnosis. And I know other people out there listening could identify. And now I just feel like I'm coming back to myself again 3 to 4 months later.
Yeah.
Like, whew, that was a big word dropped on you.
Now, I don't hear any slurring.
Nothing.
I don't hear any, even though your lip is still kind of numb, right?
And she's
I can't whistle.
You're
and
still
I'm in a lot
in
of
some pain.
Yeah, it feels really stretched out. Feels like a big sunburn, and it's like someone's pulling your lip apart.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
But the doctors tell you you're on track
completely
for recovery.
100%.
It was so funny. The doctor, every time we go in, he goes, man,
I did a good job.
Well, he cannot believe. I love that he toots his own horn. I want a confident doctor. But he keeps going, man, I can't believe I didn't get before pictures. I can't believe. No one would believe. what we
every
did.
Every time he says
it's so
that.
Great, and it's true. It's just true. The
let
stuff
him
that,
let him crow. Who cares?
Oh, are you kidding? I love it. He is the greatest. Oh, the greatest. He did such a good job. You know, and I got to pray for him. I got to pray for all those people there.
Well, and it's funny because I decided not to go under. I didn't want to go completely under, so I was present and listening to the surgery
right.
the whole time.
You were not.
Well, I had a local. Is it called
a local with a little, you know, a little
just
twilight?
Just a little twilight because I want to pay attention. I like surgeries. I come from a surgical family.
And you were listening to them talk.
I was listening to them the whole time, and I had. Anyway, I looked up at him one time and I'm like, well, I know there's at least 10,000 people praying for you right now, doctor. But if my father-in-law asked people to pray, it could be up into the millions. And I saw him like take a step back and he's like, okay.
It was so funny because one of the nurses in the OR looked at Laura's chart and she goes, Dobson? Are you Dobson Dobson? And Laura goes, he's my father-in-law. And she goes, oh, my goodness. Yeah, 10,000. There's a lot more people praying for you than that.
Yeah, and the whole room. So that got was a little... cute. And then I come from a dentist family. And so I know how to block a jaw, like how to, you know.
Pain blocks.
Pain blocks on a jaw. And I know what tooth you go in between to make the whole jaw numb.
In fact, you've got four brothers that are all in
every
dentistry.
Single one of them are in dentistry. And I have my dad's a dentist. My grandpa was a dentist. Mm-hmm. So three generations of dentists. And I just got to sit there and listen to these physicians do this dentistry. And it was amazing to talk about their jaw.
Laura.
No, not at all. I was fascinated. I like it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
She's a champ. No lie. Like, people ask me all the time, seriously, so much tougher than me. For sure. She has taken.
She's quite a lady.
Listen, honestly, people don't know. Cancer surgery, homeschools our kids, takes care of the house, co-hosts on my broadcast. I mean, it's. We were talking with one of our doctors, and Laura's like, you know, I'm just feeling like I'm really not, you know, doing enough, and I'm not really pulling it together, and da 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 da. And the doctor goes, really? So you co-host a radio broadcast and you homeschool your kids and you take care of a house and you just went through a major surgery. That sounds like you do everything. And I was like, it does. She does it all.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't be more proud of her. I love
Thank
doing the ministry
you,
with her.
Honey.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Well, I tell you what. Let's do one more program and let's talk about what you did when you left here. And how you got into the ministry you're into right now.
All right.
And how people can get in touch with you. In fact, you ought to do that right now. How can people reach you?
Oh, rebelparenting.org. Very, very easy. Rebelparenting.org is our website. That's where our podcast is. Sign up for the newsletter. All of our resources, the upgrade, everything
we have great
is there.
And
shows.
You answer all of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very personal
yes.
Kind of ministry where you care about people. And we're getting into tomorrow's program because that's really what impresses me the most is that you guys pour your lives into this ministry. And
good role
I want
models.
To tell everybody, it is not easy to start a ministry. You know, I've done it twice. I started it with Focus on the Family, and it took off and went for 33 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I came over here to Family Talk and started with nothing.
That
I
was
mean,
tough.
We really just did what the Lord seemed to tell us to do, but it's not easy. You left here
with
no money,
Family
no
Talk
nothing.
Listeners, he was following the Lord and single-handedly with my mom funding the ministry out of his own pocket.
Yes.
Don't get it twisted. These people put everything they had into this ministry to get it started.
Yes.
That's how it happened.
That's the truth.
That's why I do what I do. I had great role models that said, we're not in it for money. We're not in it for fame and fortune. We want to help the family, and that's what we're going to do. And I kept saying, when are you going to get this back? This is your retirement plan. Oh, the Lord will take care of it, Ryan. The Lord will take care of it.
Hey, whose money is that?
It's his.
His.
That's right.
You know, who does it belong to?
You've always taught us
oh,
that.
Oh, this
Absolutely.
Brings tears to my eyes. Mm-hmm. We're out of time. We've kind of meandered a bit into tomorrow's program. But you be with us tomorrow, and I want to start from scratch and how you got to what you're doing right now.
Sounds good.
Because it's exciting to see it.
Thank you.
Ryan, I love you, my son.
Mm.
Laura, to have you in the family.
Mm.
I just am so grateful to both of you and those two grandkids. I just love them like crazy, and so does Shirley. And we have a lot to be grateful for.
We do.
And I know that people have wondered, where did Ryan go?
Mm-hmm.
And we've just told them the start of it, and we'll give them the rest of the story tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks,
Laura,
Dad.
Thanks for being with us. You're going to be with us tomorrow, too, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. To get a hold of Ryan and Laura, you can reach them at rebelparenting.org. Rebelparenting.org. And if you need more information, you can go to our website, drjamesdobson.org. Ryan and Laura are going to be back with us next time, and we're going to talk about rebel parenting. I do hope that you'll be with us.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.